Thank you, Mr. Johns. Good afternoon, or good morning, actually. Here, it's almost afternoon my time. Good to see you all. I think it's been about 6-7 months since we were here, so glad to be back. Glad to see you all here. I'd like to jump right in by pulling a phrase out of the book of Luke. The days of Noah is the phrase and the title of the first split today. Let's turn over to Luke 17:26. And on face value, let's see if there's anything wrong with the days of Noah. That's Luke 17. We'll read verses 26 and part of 27 here. Luke 17:26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. We'll pause. Now, we all do those things. We all eat, we drink. We have to do both of those things to survive. They, the men, married wives. They, the women, were given in marriage. Of course, the semantics of being given in marriage is somewhat different today. But we do these things. These are normal things, aren't they? Let's go back to the verse. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now we're going to focus today on the first passage, the days of Noah, but what we're seeing here is a clear pattern for the people about to die in the flood, the people about to be destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. They seemed to just be going about their very normal business before God's judgment struck. Have you ever considered the possibility that over the last 6,000 years or so of human existence, it hasn't been a slow, gradual, consistent increase of technology and production? I think we all agree that advances in the last 100 years or so have been exponential, monumental, and world-changing. But could that ever have occurred before in human history? It's been a couple years now, but there was a Life, Hope, and Truth article that noted the first human heart transplant occurred just 50 years ago in human history. That's not long ago, given all of human history. But in modern technology, it's light years ago. Just 25 years ago, half that time, the internet was just beginning. Life now seems virtually unlivable without access to the internet. Were the previous 5,900 to 6,000 years or so, were they just humans living in cow pastures, riding camels around, trying to stay warm in their tents? I think it's very easy for us to think of early man as primitive thinkers. Based on what we know for sure, they were what we would consider now to lead primitive lives, for the most part, throughout human history. But were they primitive thinkers? Was there no technology or buildup of societies, cities, civilizations until more recent times? Obviously, we don't believe in evolution, but the overexposure of that in our lives and the theory of evolution, and it's just that, just a theory, kind of causes us to think of early man in a cave-like man state. Were they primitive thinkers? Were they not as smart as we are today? Do you think of early man as a hunched-over caveman looking to smack something on a rock, trying to hold his tent down? It's easy to do to think of him that way. There's a good chance man, thousands of years ago, was much more similar to us than we'd like to admit. To believe that man was primitive, simple-minded, stupid, or even thousands of years ago, and suddenly has become enlightened in the last 100 years or so, is short-sighted. To think that we today, who ask Siri and Google 25 questions a day, are smarter than our human counterparts who lived off the land thousands of years ago, is again short-sighted. Now, has knowledge progressed greatly in the recent decades? Yes, obviously it has. I was struck when I wrote this, and those of you might have heard this in Louisville 3 or so years ago. Sorry if you did. But when I wrote this back then, I was looking at my laptop, and I looked back at my Bible while I was preparing. Now, my Bible, which is all the same white color, it's all the same white color page, it was 2 different colors to my eyes. Because my eyes had been staring at the laptop for a while in the darkened room that I was in, the Bible pages suddenly were 2 different colors. Now, why was that? It's because God created my eyes to adjust to the screen. I'm not anywhere smart enough to know how a laptop works, but knowledge has increased. But God created my eyes and your eyes thousands of years ago, humans thousands of years ago as well as us, with incredible intrinsic complexities that can deal with technology that we just discovered within the last few years. Now, were the days of Noah any different? Have you considered that the 5,900 approximate years or so of human existence were not a slow, slug-like waste of time, just waiting for us to be so smart now with our technology? What if man's existence has been more defined by technological and scientific ebbs and flows, of booming cities and explosions in technological advancements, and then of famine and pestilence and dark ages, of breakthroughs and civilizations in the good times, of disease and violence, death in evil and corrupt times? Let's consider today the evidence that we find in the time before the flood. What characteristics prevailed in those days of Noah? How closely do we resemble those people today? Today we're going to define seven pre-flood characteristics in the form of seven characteristics starting with the letter P. We'll examine human habits from thousands of years ago that were met with great calamity from God, and we'll see if we're living in a time that can relate to that. So let's start with something positive from the days of Noah over in Genesis 4:20. First P is going to be something positive. It's going to be prosperity. Let's take a look at Genesis 4:20. Genesis 4:20. And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Now, this may seem like a passing comment or title. We'll read later the next two verses, which are also important. But to be the father of something listed in the Bible means there are a significant number of others who came to be influenced by something. Let's keep in mind that when we account for the years listed before the flood, Adam's genealogy and Noah's age, it was likely about 1,500 years into man's existence. Roughly, and I hope you know this is a rough estimate, but about a quarter of man's entire existence plays out before the flood. For those considered to be the father of something, as we'll read, it's no small thing. It's no small blip on the human radar, even though it's just one quick verse that we read. While you can quickly read through the first six chapters of Genesis, the first six chapters can cover a quarter of human history. I think we lose sight of that fact based on the media coverage, if you will, the lack of media coverage, just given in six quick chapters. Again, this is Genesis 4:20. The father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Now, to dwell in tents and have livestock is a huge jump in human society. Jabal practiced the domestication of animals. Men following him no longer had to hunt and scrounge for their food, they simply raised it. This inevitably led to them having more than they needed. Before Noah's time, and for hundreds of years, men had livestock, which meant they almost certainly they had excess. They had material prosperity. Now, based on what source you use, the average American family brings in somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 to 60 grand a year. But they spend much more than that, it seems. It's no secret that Thanksgiving is no longer actually really Thanksgiving. It's the first day of the holiday shopping for December's unfortunate holiday. Many stores now are even open on Thanksgiving Day, a supposedly national day for giving thanks for what we have and don't need to buy, but now it's a day to shop, to have more. About 3 years ago, again when I wrote this originally, about 6.6 billion sales were on Cyber Monday. Approximately 78 million Americans spent at least a part of their Monday shopping online. It's still fair to say that our country enjoys extreme prosperity, even though we're turning away from the God who gives it to us. Next up, second P is progress. Second P is progress. Let's read in verse 22 here, Genesis 4. Try not to butcher these names. As for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So here what we see, a craftsman in bronze and iron. Is this a caveman? This is a craftsman in bronze and iron. What purpose might he serve? Why would they need that? Let's back up to verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, these men of old generally lived for several hundred years, so their existence was intertwined. If Cain built up a city over time, it wasn't just he and his wife there that consisted of that city. This was a time of great progress and building as humans multiplied and inhabited the earth. We have no proof to the contrary and reasonable information to believe that this period was marked by scientific and engineering advancements as they built up these cities. So let's jump now to the ark, since we're talking about the days of Noah. You know that God told Noah to build the ark. But how did he do it? How did he build such a massive ship in such a primitive time, if we think about it that way? To build something so long and wide, over 30 cubits, approximately 42 feet high, could you build that with primitive tools only? If society was busy trying to invent the wheel and fire all day long, wouldn't the existence of this massive ship blow their minds? Wouldn't everyone be clamoring to jump aboard this massive spaceship boat Noah was building for years if it was so far and away the most scientifically advanced thing that they'd ever seen? I don't know if you've heard of the semi-recent space probe called Voyager 2. It has incredibly traveled to and studied Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. It observed changes to the great red spot on Jupiter and took pictures of its moons that we'd never seen before. It discovered two new rings around Uranus and 10 new moons that we didn't even know about. It has about 5 more years of power right now to discover new things. I said recent, didn't I? That spacecraft was launched in 1977, 43 years ago. We certainly find ourselves now in days of progress. What other characteristics encompass these days? Might we describe the pre-Noah time with perversion? Third P will be perversion. Chapter 4 begins with Cain murdering his brother Abel. That's very familiar, so we'll go actually to chapter 6 here in Genesis to verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. The earth was also corrupt before God. Continuing here in verse 11 of that same chapter, verse 11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. God's grieving was not sorrow for his own mistake. We know God doesn't make mistakes. But God gave his human creation the freedom to choose between right and wrong. And he was sorry in his heart to see how far humanity had fallen from what he originally intended. Let's go over to Proverbs and read a couple verses in Proverbs 1. Read verses 29 to 31 in Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 29. Because they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. I'd like to quote from an article that was posted a few years ago in the New York Times. Quote, a prominent Anglican cleric and gay rights campaigner known for contentious gestures has urged believers to pray for Prince George, at the time then age 4, and third in line to the throne, for him to find the love of a fine young gentleman when he grows up so as to advance the cause of same-sex marriage in church. Coming just days after Prince Harry, George's uncle and fifth in line, announced his engagement to Meghan Markle, a divorced American actress, which that story has progressed, of course, more recently. The suggestion, again, this is quote, suggestion by the very Reverend Kelvin Holdsworth seemed to illuminate once more the role of royal romance in Britain's imagination and conversation, especially when it collides with tradition. While same-sex marriage is permitted by law in most of Britain, the Church of England says on its website, it remains the case that it is not legally possible for same-sex marriage or same-sex couples to marry in their church. Mr. Holdsworth, the provost of St. Mary's Cathedral in Glasgow, belongs to the Scottish Episcopal Church, a separate province of the Anglican Communion, but they voted, June 3 years ago, to let their priests solemnize same-sex marriage. In his campaign to expand on that change, he wrote on a blog post on Thursday that believers should pray in the privacy of their hearts, or in public if they dare, for the Lord to bless Prince George with the love when he grows up of a fine young gentleman. Prince George is the elder child of Prince William and the former Catherine Middleton. A royal wedding might sort things out remarkably easily, though we might have to wait 25 years for that to happen, he wrote. Who knows whether that might be sooner than things might work out by other means. That's the end of that quote. So that was an alleged church leader is asking for prayers for a 4-year-old to be gay, to push the gay agenda further on the masses. I believe that that may sum up perversion for our day quite well. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Should have had you hold your place there. Read verse 21 this time, here in Genesis 4. Genesis 4:21. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. Again, we have the father of what presumably became a large contingent of those who could play musical instruments. It might be a stretch, but coming from the family line of Cain, we might surmise that he was the father of the first entertainment industry, the father of an industry of pleasure. Now, of course, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with playing instruments, but could this give a rise to an industry of entertainment in former times? Now, what role does entertainment play in our society now? I wonder how many people could name more apps they use on a daily basis than books of the Bible. A band called Guns N' Roses, which was popular about 25 years ago, they did a worldwide reunion tour in 2017 for their adoring fans. They grossed over $500 million, half a billion dollars for their concerts. How much does our prosperous society spend on seeing movies and entertainment? Have you ever wondered if a movie could gross $1 billion worldwide? $1 billion for people paying to go see a movie. Well, one has, and actually 30 others had as of 3 years ago. At that time, it's probably in the 40s by now, 40 movies have grossed $1 billion so we can have our entertainment. It's obvious and easy comparison to see the constant filth that comes out of Hollywood is indeed corrupt, and all flesh has corrupted their way on this earth, as we just read in Genesis 6:12 earlier. Let's back up to verse 19 here in chapter 4, Genesis 4:19. Then Lamech took for himself two wives, The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. Now, one could argue that God had not ordered monogamy at this point, but based on what he said to Adam and Eve, it's a safe assumption that God intended for one man and one woman to become one flesh. It's no coincidence that the evil line of Cain is the first documented source of polygamy. So our fifth P is polygamy. Verse 23. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. Now, who this young man that he killed, we don't know for sure. It is interesting to me, and I've probably mentioned this to you all before, perhaps. It might be the Enoch that we see later listed in Hebrews as being taken by God, just as Elijah was. Let's go over, actually, to Genesis 5 and verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Obviously, we don't believe that God took him up to heaven, as many do, but he took him and placed him somewhere else. Or perhaps he took his body after he was possibly killed at a younger age. We just read that he lived 365 years. That sounds like a long time, but when you compare how long those lived back then, as they were multiplying on the earth, that was a relatively short life. That's not for sure, but it's possible that the evil Lamech, we just read, from the line of Cain, and the righteous Enoch in the line of Seth, were connected in that way. We've examined briefly the content of the character of Lamech, who was the first recorded example of polygamy, long before Noah came along. We'll look at more in just a moment. But in the first verse we read today in Luke, saying they married wives might have a different context based on what we're seeing here from the line of Cain. And today, polygamy shows its face in a different form than having multiple wives at once. It's what we see in our current times in the form of divorce and remarriage, the complete rejection of the sanctity of marriage in the first place, and just cohabiting with whoever you want to live with. Multiple partners throughout one's lifetime is commonplace in our times now. Many reject the laws of God as outdated and stifling, and they suffer the consequences and pain that comes from broken families and that hurtful behavior. And that behavior is often passed on to their children, along with the suffering that comes along with doing things man's way and not God's. Let's move on to our next P. The next P is pride. Let's go back to Lamech's boasting. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. This is verse 23. Let's drop down to verse 24. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Lamech certainly thought a lot of himself. He says that if God declared Cain to be avenged sevenfold, if someone killed him, he was so important that he would be avenged 77-fold. This man likely required multiple wives because he was, in his own opinion, so powerful and incredible. This is the mindset of the wicked line of Cain, which multiplied on the earth before Noah's time. By way of contrast, let's examine the line of Seth, which led to Enoch, which led to Noah, and then to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and eventually Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Matthew 18, if you will. Matthew 18, 21. Lamech represents vengeance, murder, unforgiveness. Seth's line that led to Jesus Christ, what does that represent? Matthew 18, verse 21. P Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." A very different message than the line of Cain. Christ had a very different message of forgiveness and not boasting. It's very interesting to me, the literary similarities, thousands of years apart here. I like numbers a lot, so this part is maybe more interesting to me than you. But Lamech starts with seven and says his own power, his own pride, is worth 77. Christ teaches us not just to forgive seven times, but 70 times seven in showing love to others and not just ourselves. Like Lamech, he only had love for himself, it seemed. Christ didn't mean literally 490 times is how many times you forgive. But was this an arbitrary number only that Christ said, saying we should just forgive? Or was it possibly something more than an arbitrary number? Was Jesus Christ referencing a historical quote, using the identical numbers to make a connection, and contrasting his way of life to the evil days on the earth back before Noah? Now, certainly pride abounds in modern times as well. We can all acknowledge the fact pretty easily. Mankind throws itself parades on a regular basis, celebrating how open-minded we are, how woke we are. Finally, our last P, let's go to pollution. Last P is pollution. Let's go back to Genesis 6. Seventh P is pollution, Genesis 6, verse 5. Read this once, but I want to emphasize this again here. Genesis 6 and verse 5, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them.'" Man had become morally polluted to the point that God was sorry that he made man. Again in verse 11, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and on the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." Murder and crime were rampant in that society. Man had thrown off God and his so-called restraining influence. They had degenerated into the depths and depravity of wickedness. Now, here in the United States, which is one of the safest and most desirable places to live in the world, a murder occurs about every 30 minutes. There is a robbery every minute and a half or so. Modern society has again thrown off God, and moral standards, right and wrong, have gone away with them. Wars in the past 90 years killed more people than the previous 500 years combined. An estimated 203 million people were killed by wars in just the 20th century alone. Between 170 and 360 million people were killed by governments in the 20th century. Apart from war, just government oppression. And somewhere around the amount of 50 million abortions are performed a year globally. Murder continues to astronomically grow on this earth. There's also sexual pollution. On one popular pornography site, it contains 90 billion views a day. According to a study done at New Mexico State, pornography globally is currently about a $100 billion industry. That's larger than the four major sports leagues put together, NFL, NBA, baseball, hockey. Not that everything's going on right now, but pornography makes more money than all those things combined. What about spiritual pollution? Verse 12 that we just read told us that men corrupted their way on the earth. Part of that is turning away from God and turning to something else. We're caught up and we are obsessed in our modern society with the occult, with witchcraft, with astrology, with Satanism. Let's go back to the New Testament in Romans chapter 1. Start to wrap up here. It's Romans 1. Actually, read a few verses here, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him in God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. See that all around us today. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Again, Noah's time, early on in the Bible, it's not just a blip on the radar. If you do the math with the genealogies and combine the fact that Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark, again, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 1,600 years had passed. How far along had society and evil progressed in that time? The flood slowed down the pollution and corruption of mankind that he inevitably places on himself. We see another example of that just a few generations later when God slowed down the progress and the pollution of man at the Tower of Babel. Let's actually read that. Genesis 11. God has to slow down the corruption and evil ways of man when left to their own devices. It's a familiar passage here in Genesis 11, verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Are those cavemen? Verse 7, come, let us go down, and they are and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. How many other times throughout history might God have scattered and confused or slowed down scientific progress? More importantly, slowed down the wicked and corrupt ways of mankind under Satan's influence. With the access to the global internet now that connects the entire world together, can anything be withheld from mankind, including its own destruction? Are we living in the days of Noah? Do we consider those primitive beings to be starkly different than we are today? Those days were marked by prosperity, progress, then perversion, pleasure, polygamy, pride, and pollution. How would you describe our current times? Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 15. Just one verse here. I'll just read this to you if you don't want to turn there. Matthew 15, 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. We find ourselves in a repetitive humankind cycle where evil and corruption will continually expand until God has to step in and correct human course. Without the Holy Spirit of God, hearts inevitably become more evil, more corrupt continually. This has an effect on society and has an effect on the earth itself. The world pushes its agenda on us, and it treats God's righteous ways as nothing. Man believes it's smarter than the God that created them. The vast majority in society will continue in their eating, their drinking, their marrying, their carrying on their lives with little to no regard for God's laws and truths, with little or no regard for the sanctity and blessing of human life in the first place. We are a nation of scoffers. We celebrate our rejection of God and his statutes. Those in the days of Noah who drowned in the flood had evil in their hearts continually. They almost certainly scoffed at Noah's way of life and his obedience to God. Do you see any similarities around us today? Final verse over in 2 Peter 3. Final verse for me at least. Second Peter 3, in verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. How true that is in the society around us that makes fun of those who want to obey God. Who makes fun of those who even believe in God. Does God have our attention before the return of Jesus Christ? When Christ returns, will he really find faith on the earth? Or will he find that, if possible, even some of the elect, as it was in the days of Noah, are only pursuing prosperity, progress, perversion, pleasure, polygamy, pride, and pollution.